We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, Mavs fans. Welcome to it is no longer Pod Maverick After Dark. It is now Mavs Party. I am Kirk Henderson, editor-in-chief at MavsMoneyBall.com. Those of you who are still hanging out from Josh and I's previous show, if you are new, please do me a favor and click on the link, the StreamYard link, which will send you to a private room where I will then bring you up to talk a little basketball with me. If you've never done so before, I tend to go with people who I don't recognize first because I want everybody to feel, to hang out, talk a little basketball. It's supposed to be, it's watching basketball with real people is fun. I did so today for the first time in a while. It was great. We already got six people in the waiting room. If you get notified that there's not enough space, just try again in a little bit. We will hang out tonight. It's a Friday night. My son's 8 a.m. baseball game got canceled. So I am happy to stay up late and talk with people. All right. I'm going to bring, let's see here. So this is a Tariq. We're here. Tariq, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, man?
I'm having a great time. This is my favorite time of the year. I'm utterly exhausted already, and I just can't wait for the next game. How about you?
I'm doing good, man. I was only able to catch the second half, but it was a good time to watch. I was like absolutely floored by Kyrie, which, like I said, I only saw the second half, so I wasn't able to see him not do anything in the first half. So
he amazed. Was pretty awesome passing the ball in the first half. The Mavericks had if he wasn't scoring, he was still affecting the offense because the Mavericks had a good lead at halftime.
Yeah, I think there's been so many moments over the past like couple months where Kyrie has just like knocked my socks off. But the tonight it was like in the fourth quarter, I think we were up double digits, but they brought it within like 13 to where it started to get uncomfortable. And then he just hit like an impossible baseline fadeaway
that over two people.
Yeah, put it back up 15, and then I was like, okay, we're not losing this game.
Yeah, really something. Something. Just it's so much fun watching that sort of thing with other people. Particularly, I was with some guys tonight that don't watch a lot of basketball, and I was like, he's about an inch shorter than me, and he is able to get past these guys that are 9 inches taller than him and make it look easy. It's really something.
Yeah, it was it was a good time, man. But yeah, I'll let somebody else come up.
Sure, man. Thanks for coming on. Hope you come back.
For sure.
All right. My dogs are even very excited about this basketball game. Can't really say I blame them. It was a pretty exciting game. All right. So let's see here who we got down here. Looks like a lot of my returning friends. So we're going to go kind of one by one. Garrett, welcome to the show.
Hello.
So what's going on? What'd you think of tonight's game?
I want to talk about how Kawhi doesn't look super good at all.
I'm really glad you brought this up, Garrett, because Josh and I didn't talk about this at all. I think the Clippers need to have a discussion with Mr. Leonard and really raise the question of whether he should be playing, because when he enters the game, like, their offense stops. It's pretty brutal.
He just doesn't have the ability to drive or shoot threes or pass or anything that spaces the floor out for this team. And with Zubac playing in the middle, he can't shoot from anywhere outside of 1 foot. So it's like they don't have any spacing with him, and it just ruins their entire offense.
That's a great. I'm really glad you brought this up. Cannot believe Josh and I didn't talk about this at all, because I think that, you know, if you look at kind of who had it going, I hate to admit this, but friggin' James Harden was crushing Dallas tonight. I mean, he ends up a negative 21 because he's on the floor, but his three ball was there, and he just didn't get enough volume.
Harden just kills it every single time he plays against us, because they switch him onto Luka and he drives past Luka, which I get it. Like, that's kind of what the offense is meant to do. It's meant to get Harden driving into our posts, right? But he just has that little mid-range. He has such good vision to pass it out that it kind of kills us. But if you can limit that scoring to just him, totally okay with that, because they're getting rid of literally everything else.
Yeah.
So it's totally fine.
Yeah. It's like it sort of is what a lot of fans accuse Luka of doing when it gets like absolutely. That. So, yeah, that's
just
a good one.
He's just a generational foul baiter. So it just adds on to that.
He's so good at it. I hate how good it is. Like, when he got Maxi at the end of the third quarter, I was going to scream because it was a foul. I just can't believe he baited Maxi into doing that.
And Maxi's such a smart defender that he doesn't usually get caught on that. You could see how he's so frustrated with himself when he, like, did that. And the other guy I wanted to talk about was Derek Jones. I had no idea he had a step back three in his arsenal.
I don't think he does, but we're not gonna tell him that. We don't like, need him to know.
What in the world?
Because it's like he caught that. I remember that one. I was sitting there going, oh, no, why didn't you dribble? Why don't you just shoot the ball? And then he crosses over, steps back, and there it is. That's it. Yeah, love that. The most
confident shot I've ever seen him make.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good thing, Garrett. Thanks for coming up. Talk soon. All right. We got moving on from Garrett. I just wanted to do one quick thing. If you're trying to get into the show, please just give it a second. We got a couple of people that are like bopping in and out. That just happens sometimes. If you're in line, stay in line. My favorite Twitter joke of all time that no one else likes. Quick shout out to two more people. Wade Lamb, thank you so much for the tip. Really appreciate that. And then Frank B, appreciate the quality content. Frank, we are glad to have you and Wade and everyone else as listeners. Okay, coming up next, then, I'm going to bring up my man Brian. Brian, what's going on?
Man, Kurt, just enjoying this game like everybody else. I will say, I'm glad that the person that went in front of me, that Garrett brought up, one, Kawhi Leonard, because Kawhi does not look like himself. That's plain to see, you know. Now, these injuries not going to excuse you from getting your ass beat, because that's what's happening right now. And, you know what I'm saying, if you're on the court, you're good to go. So, if you're not, get off the court. And James Harden, because we kind of got to give Harden and Zubac, particularly their flowers, because they have been the Clippers' only two constants.
Mm-hmm.
They have been the only two guys who can get any offense going for them pretty much by themselves, or the two of them when they're running pick and roll. Whenever the Clippers need them to. And I bring those three guys up to juxtaposition them to Paul George, because there's been a lot of Clippers fan talk online about, oh, well, you know, the Mavericks aren't even that impressive because, like, we would lose to any team if we're shooting like this. Okay, well, you've got one guy who's on a bum wheel, one guy who everybody thinks is washed, man, to show up in every game. If we're not doing anything to affect what you have going on at all, explain the dude that just had an all-NBA year that we are beating his ass every single game, except for that, what was it, game one where he showed? I think it was game two. But tonight he had, what, 7 points, 3 for 11 shooting? You think that just happened on accident?
No. No, and, like, we know, like, there's a number of people in the chat that keep pointing out that Kawhi's hurt. It's like, well, we know. Like, he's been hurt.
That's one dude, though.
Yeah, it's and but I do think it really like I do think he mucks everything up in the sense of if like Luka was out there playing on one leg, the Dallas offense would be different because he's such a folk, he's such a strong focal point. And I mean this in a positive way, because when he's really on, he's just a murderous guy. Like I was walking a couple of people through tonight, the 2021 game six performance where he just broke our backs. Like that's the Kawhi that's gonna live in my head until the day that he retires. So
yeah, you know what you know, it's supposed to be able to help mitigate that when your number one star can't go.
You have the other three potential Hall of Famers that you have on your team?
Look, I would think it would be the only other dude that's in discussion for all NBA. I know when Luka doesn't have it going, or when Luka needs to take a couple possessions off, he can give the ball to Kyrie. Kyrie can run the offense.
Paul George only had 7 points. My God. I didn't
even worse. That. Even worse, he only had 11 shots. That's where I'm like, dude, you are. I love Paul George. I think he's a fabulous basketball player. He's one of the coolest players I've ever seen play. What he was doing out there in the last couple games is an absolute disgrace.
And he got that one really cool, that really crazy Luka-like shot to fall. That was fun.
Yeah, that falling backwards, back parallel to the ground shot. Yeah, that was crazy. And I was like, okay, maybe it's this shot that gets him going. And even that didn't do it. And you know what's crazy? Because I think he came back a couple possessions after that or a couple minutes after that and tried to dunk on Daniel Gafford and got that shit set all the way the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of a wrap from there. It's just been James Harden, Zubac, and what, Norm Powell in two games?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
After that, you're relying on Amir Coffey?
Yeah.
Terrence, man, who ain't did shit but bump his gums and get carried series wins now. Look, man, Paul George, I don't know what he got going on. Kawhi Leonard, same Kawhi Leonard. You ain't got nobody to carry you to a win, no. So all that yapping you was doing before you was a real rotation player that you're trying to do now that you're in the rotation, brother, it don't hit the same now that we see you getting your ass bust.
I love it. I love it. Well, man, we're going to have fun. You're going to go. I actually can't come on Sunday to the thing
man. Boy, look, yeah. It's going to be a great time. We're going to have fun in there.
Yeah, we'll see. It doesn't seem fair to leave my wife at home with 2 children while I go watch a basketball game. Plus, I like watching the game with my kid. So we'll see. Yeah. One day, Josh and I will actually be social and do something out in public with people, but we just actually have to commit to doing it. And like Josh didn't want to, and I overcommit. So we'll see. All right, man. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Okay.
Yes, sir. Have a good night.
All right, we still got 10 folks. This is a lot of people. This might be the most people we end up having in and out of the room. So I'm just going to kind of go in order here because I'm seeing mostly. Actually, you know what? I see some people I don't recognize, so I'm going to go with everybody first. Glenn, welcome to the show tonight. How you doing?
Hey, Kirk. How you doing tonight? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thank you so much for joining. I'm doing great. I am trying to remember that I made a cocktail right before the show, and I just keep not drinking it. So if you see me, that's why. So what's going on?
That's all right. Full disclosure here, too. I just had surgery on my nose earlier this week, so I'm on prescription painkillers here and some cocktails. So if I don't make sense, this is why.
Hey, that's great. That's what live podcasting is for. You never know what's going to happen. Well, I hope you're feeling all right, though.
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good tonight. So I want to gush. I want to gush about the Mavericks. I'm a 1981 Mavericks fan from way, way back in the beginning. People think that the greatest Mavericks team of all time was obviously the championship team. But really, my opinion is that the chairman of the boards was the best Mavericks team ever.
Sure.
We had Tarpley. And in 1985, when we traded Kurt Nimvius for James Donaldson, we added a dimension to the team that we needed back then, in that we had a guy that would body up in James Donaldson. We bodied up. And we never got that again, in my opinion.
For like 35 years.
Yes, I know. I'm the cranky old man that says, oh, they were never like
that. They really weren't, though. They never had anybody like that again.
Yes. When we won the championship with Tyson Chandler and Matrix, we did not have guys that made people fear to enter the paint.
That's right.
We had guys that could play in the middle, but we didn't have guys that made them fear. And so when I see, like tonight in the second quarter, I saw Harden drive into the lane. I go, well, he's gonna lay this up. And instead he dished it because he was afraid of being embarrassed by Gafford or Lively, whoever was in the game.
No, they just meet him in the paint and they're like, this far, no further. It's incredible.
No easy baskets.
Yeah. The That's Dallas Mavericks doing that. I can't wrap my head around it.
No. No, it trips me out, and it's so wonderful because this is what I learned of basketball back 30 or 40 years ago, that this is the first thing you do when you're building a team, is that you decide no easy baskets. We will let a team get hot and sure. hit a bunch of trays, but we will not let them come into the lane, because when you embarrass a guy, when he comes into the lane and you body him up and then you reject him and then everybody's in the crowds going, ooh, oh no, you got denied. They're afraid to come back into the paint.
That's right. It lives in your head.
This is the first time we've had a team like that. This is my favorite Mavericks team since James Donaldson and Roy Tarpley and Aguirre.
I love it, Glenn. I love it.
I'll say one more thing real quick. I took my dad to a game last year. He's 84 years old. I came to Dallas. I live in Las Vegas. I took my dad to a game, and we were playing the Pacers. Mm-hmm. And we got embarrassed because they were just scoring at will in the paint. And my dad said to me, why do you hate Dwight Powell so much? He hits – his shooting percentage is like 70%.
Right.
I said, well, because his shooting percentage is 70% of dunks.
Yeah.
If we had somebody in there that was hitting every dunk, he'd be hitting 90% or whatever. And that's Gafford and Lively.
That's right.
I love those guys so much, is that they just make the dunks and the obvious pick and rolls that when they're rolling to the basket.
I love it, Glenn. Thanks so much for joining.
That's it. Thank you so much for having me, Kirk. I'm a long time listener of your show. Appreciate it.
Hope you come back. Talk soon. All right.
Will do. Yep.
All right. And Glenn is right about block shots living in your head. I was thinking about the various times in my life I've been blocked, and those things just stick with you. It's really embarrassing how that happens. Man, we got so many people. All right. I'm gonna go next to. Let's go to Sudarshan. How are we doing tonight or this morning? What time is it there?
It's about 10 a.m. Good 10 morning.
So you started your day off with a W. You're in a great place.
Well, I mean, I started the day at 4 in the morning because I woke up to watch the draft.
Oh, my God. You're insane. I love it.
I am insane. I am completely and utterly insane when it comes to this.
Who's your NFL football team?
The Giants.
Okay, so you're okay with how things are going for the Giants so far, I take it.
They're okay. I mean, I don't know exactly how to feel. That's all right.
The draft is all about projection. That's why I wish the Dallas Mavericks use their picks more, because it's just all about unbridled hope. And you know, that's kind of how I feel after going up 2-0, 2-1 on the Clippers.
Yeah, but now I just hope that, you know, that they actually maintain momentum, because I mean, the one thing that was concerning about the second half was Luka played like ass.
He did. He's just – he. The shots aren't going for him, and he's very frustrated by it, and you can tell. And yeah. So it's he's going to break through the wall, but that they're winning without him shooting the ball very well just speaks to the nature of this team.
Yeah, I mean, the second half was basically an exhibit for, thank God we have Kyrie Irving on our team.
Yeah,
which is not something that we had even during the 2022 the championship run, as such, when we had Brunson as the second person. I don't think we could manage stuff like this. We just completely fall apart.
That's right.
So, yeah, I'm just hoping Game 4 is just one of those games where Luka goes bananas and
just sends him packing. It would bring a lot of joy to my heart.
And we actually keep up that killer mentality, and we finish it in 5 rather than trying to push it to 6 or screw around in game 5 or whatever it is and let them back into the series. I really don't want that to happen.
That's right.
It's also a good morning because we're watching the Timberwolves absolutely put it to the Suns. So, I mean, yeah, it's a good time to be a Mavericks fan.
That's right. You hate to see the Suns dying. Actually, nobody does. we're all okay with it.
Yeah.
All right.
How's your little one doing? I mean, he had the emergency room visit the last
time. Oh, he still sounds like a goose when he coughs. It's real awful, but he's okay. He's okay. Mm-hmm. He's like, with babies, there's always something. And it's a matter of figuring out, is that something really bad, not bad at all, or just a baby screaming his head off? It's just the way it goes. Hmm. So, well, thank you for asking. It's very kind of you. We'll talk soon, all right?
Yes, we'll see after game four, where the roles are inversed, where you will have the afternoon game and it'll be like early morning for me.
Nice. All right, man. Talk soon.
Yeah, take care.
All right, if you want to join the show, be sure to hit the StreamYard link in the comments of the YouTube. It should be a pinned comment. Coming up next is my man Henry. Henry, welcome. Wonderful avatar of Russell Westbrook. What's going on tonight?
What's going on? I'm just enjoying these Phoenix buns over here getting clapped right about now.
How bad is it? Okay, I'm scrolling. Oh, my God. 18 points with time left in the third. My goodness.
Yeah, it was just 20, but then Book just scored right now. And Ant just is insisting on fucking up Kevin Durant right about now. But what was I going to say earlier? Tim McMahon posted out a tweet. We shot 26.5%, 27% basically from three, and we smoked them by double digits. So I wouldn't be too worried about next game, I'm going to be honest with you. And the thing is in the luxury of Kai, and I don't even know if it's luxury, but the euphoric feeling to know that the harder the game gets, the tougher the series goes, the worse it is, the better he performs.
I like it because, you know, that third quarter run, fourth quarter was such a needed thing. And it's nice to have – it's nice to know that there's never really – you know, that second quarter of game one, just kind of put that out of our minds.
Right.
Really hasn't been a time since Kyrie and Luka have played together where you really feel like the offense is truly stagnant. Now, there's a lot of internet commentary about things they need to do differently and bitch. And I make the joke of some fans who pop in here that like the Mavericks are going to be in the NBA finals and there's going to be people being like, Luka needs to work without the ball. And it's like, okay, I get it. We're in the NBA finals. Can we relax? But the fact that those explosions seem to come in a way that always shocks the defense.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do for it. Again, people thought Draymond was crazy when he said Kyrie is the scorer. People think Kevin Durant is. I don't know if you watched that series where the Nets got swept by Boston. The physicality absolutely ruins Kevin Durant. And mm-hmm. You're seeing it right now during this series against the Timberwolves. He has ungodly, stupid turnovers, bad shot selection. Anytime
right, because you get up in his body. That's right.
Exactly. Kyrie, none of that matters to him. None of that matters to him. Like, he's absolutely still going to torture. He's going to use it against you again. He plays defense on offense. So, like, if that's what you want to play, like, okay, I'm just going to use that momentum again. You want to play up? Okay, I'm going to dot your eye. Like, it doesn't matter what you do. Every decision you make is the wrong one. Same thing for Luka. It doesn't matter the decision. Each decision you make is the wrong one. So, sit back, enjoy the ride, get ready for OKC in the second round, and I'll see you guys in the Western Conference versus the Nuggets.
My man. Talk to you soon. Have a good one. All right, coming up next is my friend Alex. Alex, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kirk. How's it going?
Welcome. It's a great night. It is only 11:30. I am just really feeling it. This is the best time of year for basketball.
Yeah, I watched the game with my 10-year-old daughter. She had a great time. We're both waking up at 5 to go to a 5K tomorrow morning. So late night into an early morning, which is always fun.
My bad. My internet died for a minute. We're still here. What's going on?
Oh, hey, can you hear me?
I can. That was not you. That was me. I watched like I should do all this wired to be a professional podcaster, but I am not. And I am doing it, but my router is like here, so I don't understand how the hell that happened. Anyways, what did you think of the game tonight?
Oh man! So first of all, my 10-year-old daughter absolutely loved it. You know, she's a huge basketball fan, huge Mavs fan, Luka fan first and foremost, of course. But she had a great time. I had a great time. I'm in what the kids call today my DeLulu stage, where I think the Mavs are going to win in five. The Mavs have not put together a perfect game.
No, they played quite badly, if we're being candid on offense.
Yeah, and the Clippers put in a perfect game one. And the Mavericks have looked kind of like ass every single game.
Yep.
And have managed to be up 2-1. And I just... at this point, I don't see how Dallas can lose the series or not get to the Western Conference Finals. I could be wrong. I will eat crow if I'm wrong, but that's how I feel at the moment.
It's perfectly reasonable to feel that way. You should ride the highs, and that it's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean that's really all I had to say. I'm so excited about this team, and I feel as good about this team as I did about the 2011 team.
I love that. Love to hear the confidence. Thanks, Alex. Talk soon. All right. We're going to go to Simon next. Simon, my guy, it's East Coast for you. You're up very late. I'm sorry.
I am. And I've been waiting a while to talk to you, Kirk.
I'm so sorry. Let's hear
No. I mean, not just tonight, but I mean, just in general, I wanted to get on after game one and game two. Got a lot of thoughts. Love talking to you. So I'm glad you're having me on. All right. So a couple of things. This has been a really, am I allowed to curse on this? Oh, yeah. On this forum? Like, I mean, because this has been a really, really weird fucking series to me in a lot of ways. Number one, let's start with this fact. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Sound good.
Okay. You know, part of the reason that the Mavericks offense since the trade deadline was so efficient is because they were getting 20 points a game from their center rotation. On about 80% or so field goal percentage. Games one and two, I don't know how many combined field goals Gafford and Lively.
Not many, man. It was pretty bad.
It couldn't have been more than four between the two of them, which is weird. So that part of it, I mean, I'm just trying to collect all of my thoughts. And
that's all right, man. Not just from
tonight, but from the first three games, you know, since I wasn't on after games one and two.
Yeah.
I will say this, like, I'm happy that the Mavericks won tonight. I'm happy that they're up 2-1 of the series. I want them to take this, to take this run as far as they can, obviously. But I haven't particularly enjoyed watching this series.
This is worth saying, though, Simon. Playoff basketball is nails on a chalkboard. You enjoy it after the fact. It's really not that fun. Oh, shit, with every possession. I can't stand it.
I think you're right about that, Kirk. You know, I mean, like, just the experience of watching it, living and dying on every possession, that's constant through every postseason of whatever team that you're rooting for. But, you know, in this particular situation, it's really kind of driving home the point about just how much different the basketball is now than it was in January or February or whenever it was that the NBA decided to change the rules of the game midseason. So, and there's a happy medium with this stuff. I mean, I would tend to agree with a lot of people that, you know, the scoring did get out of control. I mean, I don't think anybody wants to watch a, 140 to 135 game. It takes a lot of the value out of it. But at the same time, like, I mean, game two was what, 96-93? And I'm like, is this 2024 or 2004? Like,
that's
what,
right.
What the hell is this? Another reason I haven't enjoyed watching this series is that I love Kawhi Leonard as a player. I love his game. I love his stoicism. His stoicism is very, because that's like how I kind of was when I was a player. And just his general not giving a fuck about doing anything outside of showing up on the court and being a Terminator is kind of endearing in a league where you have all these, kind of self-important superstars.
Sure.
But it's really sad to watch him. I mean, he just looks like a shell of himself. He can't do anything.
Yep.
And the 2021 series between these two teams was an epic series with epic performances from him and Luka. And it was just back and forth, and neither team could win a home game, and it was COVID, and it was just weird, but it was just hell of enjoyable. And this just, it doesn't have the same feeling. The Mavericks are up 2-1, and I sound like I'm being negative, and I guess I am. But now let's kind of get to the Luka part of this. That's another thing that's been weird about this series is just the way it's not the fact that he's missing shots, because everybody goes through spells where they miss shots.
Right.
But it's the way that he's playing. And I don't understand it. And when I kind of came on earlier in the season, like very, 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 very early in the season, you know, first 9-10 games or so and talked to you. It befuddled me then just the way he kind of like refused to attack the basket.
Yeah.
And he's doing the same thing in this series. I actually looked up on Basketball Reference just for at the end of game two, after the first two games, just to kind of look at his shot distribution in terms of like distance from the basket. And according to Basketball Reference, he had zero shots in games one and two from within 3 feet. Now, I can recall at least one shot from game two. I think it was the end of the third quarter where he drove the length of the floor.
All the way, right.
All the way, right, all the way. And I don't know, maybe they said that was 4 feet or something like that. I'm not really sure how they – but the point is like he's – I don't know if he's injured, and I know he had the thing with his knee tonight, but – and I would give him the benefit of the doubt on that if he was attacking the basket in games one and two, but – like in 2021, whenever he got Zubac on these fucking switches, he cooked him to the point where the Clippers could not play him anymore.
And well, the shots aren't going down, but I will say that tonight was the first time that it felt like Zubac was coming out a little higher. Josh talked about this because the Mavericks were getting all these alley-oops at the rim, and Luka and Kyrie were responsible for most of those. So if Luka wasn't getting at to the rim, the ball was still getting all the way to the rim for these shots, and that was a healthy step in the right direction.
I agree with you there. Now, I think part of the reason the shots are not going down is because I noticed, especially in the first quarter tonight, the Clippers look like they're playing him for the jump shot. Mm-hmm. Couple examples, right? There was one play where he's backing down Westbrook, right? He's backing down Westbrook with his left shoulder, and Westbrook read it correctly. Like, Westbrook, like, read that he was going to turn right shoulder and shoot a fadeaway and jumped on it, and then Luka ended up traveling and, you know, and turnover, which pissed me off because I cannot stand fucking Westbrook. That guy is such a clown. He's always been a clown. And to see him have any type of success, even in the game where he goes 0 for fucking 7, it just drives me crazy because there is nothing about his game that I respect, nothing about it I like, and nothing about his demeanor or anything that it just makes my fucking skin crawl every time I watch that guy play basketball. I was thrilled when he got ejected. I mean, that was a clown fucking play that he did. And then to like, preen and act like a fucking tough guy. It just, oh my God. And that's why that's another part of the reason it pissed me off was like, because whenever he gets isolated on Luka Doncic, like, I'm like, dude, you need to fucking cook him and shut his ass up because dude, that guy is such a clown, and he's always been a clown. And I don't blame Kevin Durant for leaving him at one fucking bit. Okay. But sorry. I mean,
okay. No, but I got, Simon, I'm sorry. I still got 8 or 9 people to go. How many, what else we got?
That's all right. No, that's pretty much it. But I mean, the point is I think the Mavericks are going to win this series. I don't think I don't know what's going on with the Clippers offense. Kawhi Leonard doesn't have it. Paul George, I don't know. He's ghost again in the playoffs, but it's weird. But going forward, if Luka, my point is about Luka is like the reason he's not making shots is because the Clippers are not playing him for the drive. They're playing him for the jump shot. His jumper is contested because they're not backing off of him because they're not respecting the drive. But I want the Mavericks to go as far as they can in order for them to do that. Everything else is in place for them. The defense is outstanding. Kyrie is steady. Even when he struggles for a half, you know he's going to come back in the second half, and he's going to put up a great effort. The role players are going to do their thing, but they need to get Luka in fucking playoff Luka mode and through 3 games. That hasn't happened, and I'm rooting for it to happen. I want it to happen. It needs to happen.
It'll happen eventually.
But somebody's got to get in his ear and tell him he's got to fucking attack the basket. That's it.
All right, man. Talk soon.
Love you.
Thanks so much.
Talk soon.
All right. Simon's my DC guy. So thanks for hanging out, Simon. Talk soon. Andrew, what's up, man?
Hey, good evening, Kurt. great evening. Good game.
It really is. And we're still before midnight. I shouldn't rush Simon off. I feel bad now, but I keep feeling it's like 1:15. It's not though. I'm just old.
Yeah, we're getting there. He gave me one more point I'll add in. Is first quarter was just a rock fight tonight. Just the Mavs were 0 of 8 shooting threes, and we're within 5 and feeling good at that point. And then the main thing I want to get to is the Mavs just no longer react badly to the tomfoolery of other teams.
That is a great point because I'm so used to the Mavericks being the ruffled team. Even mm-hmm. with Dirk, I mean, do you remember – this is like a famous thing for oldies like us. When David West gave Dirk the old cheek pat is 2008. It's like one of the most offensive things I've seen another man do on the court. And no Maverick stood up for him, for Dirk. Yeah. It drove me – I was going to lose my mind. And so now the Mavericks are the ones that are dishing it out. It's wild to me.
Yeah. After Westbrook had his flagrant one in the – second quarter on Josh Green, the Mavs then went on a 26-9 run for the rest of the quarter. That ended the game. And from then on, the Mavs just hand on the younger brother, just holding them back. And Clippers got close once, but that's about it. And then Kyrie took control, and that was that. To bring Simon's point up, Luka is spending much more effort on the defensive end than he ever has in his career. Is that starting to affect his offense, which it almost has to be somewhat?
Yeah. But there's also just an element of frustration that we're seeing. You know, he gets into these ruts and usually he shoots himself out of it. And that just hasn't happened yet.
Which we got time, thank goodness. And the last thing is they made a defensive adjustment on Harden. Harden about the second quarter sometime was at 14 points.
Yeah.
After he's getting those threes, they stopped giving him the open threes, closing out on him, letting him drive, and then having Gafford and Lively just collapse in the paint. Mm-hmm. And then he didn't score again until the fourth quarter when he got free throws.
Pretty incredible. He really took his own foot off the gas, but that's the James Harden special.
Yeah. That's all I got.
All right, man. Thanks for waiting. Talk soon. All right. Yep. You too. Bye. All right. Coming up next is Jobo. What's going on, my guy? Welcome.
Hey, what's up?
Thanks for waiting so long.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. I'm actually on the first shift tonight. Since I was talking to you last, we had our first kiddo. So
hey, congratulations.
Thanks, man. She's making her After Dark preview or premiere. Man. Couple things I noticed tonight. One, I just want to say off the bat, since I kill Maxi more than any when he's frustrating, if he's going to forever just hit a February to early April slump and then figure it out in the playoffs, I'm okay with that. And his defense was good and to the end of the season, but I felt like to end the 22 season for sure, and then this one, his shot was just nowhere to be found. And then not that he's been lights out right now, but he's been fine. And like, that's really all they need. And so, man, just props to Maxi for that. I remember looking up at the screen at one point during the fourth quarter. And I don't know if this was Luka's final line, but he had like 22, 10, and 9. And it just hit me like, Luka has 22 points, and this game feels so comfortable in the fourth quarter right now. And to think of the last time that we played the Clippers, that like if Luka showed up with a 22-point game, this team would have gotten blown off the court by this Clippers team in 21 and 2020. So that they have the guys now and the depth to take it to a team, even when he's not going to shoot lights out. It's night and day. It's just night and day from before.
It's really nice, isn't it?
It's a ton of fun. And I mean, I'll always be partial, but I went to the same middle school and high school as PJ just a couple years down. And he was, you know, larger than life at that time, obviously. But I played a quick story. I played select ball with his dad's team because his dad was the history coach at our school.
Yeah.
And we would always practice on one end of the court. And PJ would do like his own one on like his own individual drills on the other side. And after practice one day, his dad was like, "Hey, does anyone want to get dunked on by PJ?" And all 15 of us on the team, like giddy school children, went over and we all tried to contest one at a time while he drove and he dunked on all of us. And it was amazing. But anyway, so, you know, obviously rooted for PJ at Kentucky and then Charlotte. And when he got traded to the Mavs, I, like, you know, no one was rooting for him more than me. So for him to just kind of be this gritty role guy that's gonna be there for the team. You know, he might not always have the jump shot. If he does, great. If he doesn't, that's okay, because if he's gonna be the guy that's gonna put his nose in someone's chest like he did tonight, then he's got a spot on this team for sure.
That's great stuff, man. It's great stuff.
Last thing I'll say, I know you got a lot of people to get through. I feel like it's really evident that Kidd finally has the kind of team that he wants to have. I felt like through the first few years in Dallas, you could tell he was very passive-aggressively frustrated by the live and die by the three kind of team, and by the, you know, offensive-heavy, not playing a lot of defense kind of team. And now, you know, say what you want about Kidd, but it just feels like this is the kind of team he wants to coach.
Oh yeah.
And then I think that's going to bring out the best in him. So
yeah, he's loving the physical basketball.
Yeah.
All right, man. We'll talk soon. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Kirk.
All right. We got two guys left, two old stalwarts, Mr. Doe, who must have put his phone down. Oh, there he is. We're going to go to Doe and then Micah, call it for an evening. Whoop. Doe kicked himself off, so we're going to go to Micah first and then Doe. Micah, what's up?
What's going on, Kurt? Pretty good game, man. My first thought, is Kyrie Irving the last one standing from his era?
Who would you include?
Basically anyone drafted around 2008. Maybe a little bit before.
No,
as far as still being capable of what he was in his best year.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm gonna need to go look at in that like list of guys. I mean, yeah, because some of these guys have aged like rocks, like Derrick Rose, like Anthony Randolph.
He basically got is basically KD, Steph, all those guys are somewhere around his draft.
I mean, DeRozan's still pretty good. Blake Griffin just retired.
Yeah.
Steph Curry still in existence. Drew Holiday, obviously, still pretty great, even though it feels like he's a gajillion years old. Hey, 2009, Roddy Bobois year. Shout out to Roddy Bobois. Followed up by Taj Gibson. Followed up by Taj Gibson, who's still playing. I see your point here, though, because the LeBron like has bent the era in a way that's kind of confusing, like the way Dirk just hanging on was. But yeah, you might be right, kind of looking through it. There's just not that many guys. I mean, even John Wall was drafted in 2010. He's not in the league anymore. That, you know, Gordon Hayward looks like burnt toast. DeMarcus Cousins is out of the league. Like, and these are guys drafted after those guys. So I think it's an interesting point you make.
Yeah, but all in all, not bad for a D grade trio, right?
Yeah. Big fan.
They're playing great basketball. They're playing just a defensive style that I didn't think I'd ever see from a Mavs team that's the main focus of the team. We just over the years mainly been a more leaning to offense and we finally got the dogs that we got gaslit about when we got James Johnson.
that's a throwback. James Johnson, what a name.
Who's the other one? Was it not DeLon Wright? No, Jason. Was it Josh Richardson?
There's a whole era of dudes. You're right.
Yeah, it's Josh Richardson. When they was coming over the plate, Same. The dogs are coming.
Right. Well, my man, but, what else you got for us?
They're playing great ball, man. Love to see it. I think we're going to put these guys away. I think Keyshawn's either going to have to accept that he is wrong about one of two things. Either the Mavs defense is good or the Clippers just aren't that good.
I know, right?
It's one of the two. Either way, he's wrong.
Keyshawn Johnson. He's not prepared. He's not built for that role. That's okay. We still love him for his football. All right, man. We'll talk soon, okay?
All right. Have a good night, Kirk.
All right. Don't kick yourself off stage this time, Dow. What's going on?
Oh, man. That game was awesome. I lost my voice for like about half the game.
Where were you
and,
sitting?
I was sitting in the super nosebleed seats.
Outstanding.
I was like that's in row N. I mean, absolutely the very last seat in the top row. But it was outstanding. I mean, the second time Russell kicked himself in the cojones, it was over, you know? And yeah. I mean, he's just like sabotaging the whole series for him. Him and Kawhi are just, you know, both of them are just two landmines, you know, and just put a rock around them and throw them in the ocean, you know? I mean, they weighed that team down unbelievably, you know? And Tyronn Lue, he's an idiot for even going back to Russell Westbrook after the first quarter he did all that stupid shit.
Yep.
You know? And it's just perplexing to me. What was scary was in that third quarter, they were building up some momentum. You know, Powell was making some shots, and so was Kawhi. Then the next thing you know, Russell Westbrook's getting into it. And what happened there? I couldn't tell what happened at the stadium. Why did our guy, PJ Washington, why did he get ejected? I didn't understand that.
So he'd already had one technical, and he got a second technical.
Oh, okay. I don't remember his first technical, you know?
His first technical was a minor thing, but it was still a thing, and so that's why he got sent packing.
Okay, because the stadium was just so rocking, and I've never been in a game that had so many stoppages, you know? It was like, oh, my God, you know? I'm like, this is the longest game ever. How many things are we going to review, you know? And how many times are we going to have a technical that we need to look at or, you know, or a personal foul or it's flagrant or not? It was just insane. I mean, this was like a WWE wrestling match.
Yep.
You know, it was a slugfest, another one. And I can't believe we're talking about the Mavericks and playing a slugfest.
Yeah.
You know,
and winning.
And winning, you know, the typical ballerina, high maintenance, we're going to score a lot, don't touch me thing. And now we're playing this style of basketball. This is amazing. I mean, this is an era that, you know, you don't see, you know, this kind of slugfest. Even when they won the championship, it was never like this. You know, it's amazing. And especially the thing that gets me is, man, those two guys patrolling paint, man. Oh, my God. I mean, it's just not them. It's Kleba at times, not just the two centers, but everybody, PJ, you know, everybody's contesting everything. And it just changed the whole dynamic, you know, after that second quarter and then that third quarter, you know, and when Russell Westbrook did all that stuff, I said the game's over with, you know, that frustration level is spilled over, you know, he's cancer, you know, he is a cancer, you know, I'm just shocked. But anyways, it's been a long night. I'm glad you let me come up, Kirk.
Hey, thanks for hanging out. I'm glad you got to go to the game. I'm always jealous of people that go to the games. I can't.
It's man, you want to go to the Sunday game? I got another ticket.
It's very difficult for me to make those things work. And I, like, my wife would probably let me go, but then I just, like, it. I always feel, I feel bad, so I never really ask.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because it just leaves her playing zone defense against two small children. That's not fair. Plus, like, it's harder for me. You know, you get used to watching a game a certain way, and then I just don't see as much. So, but I appreciate the offer. It's very kind of you.
Yeah, I mean, I got real good news. You know, my cancer is type stage one, so it's not going to be as bad as I thought it would be. So,
punch it in the face. Sure.
Yeah, it is a punch in the face, but at the same time, you know, it could be worse. You know. So
you punch that cancer in the face.
I will. I will. Right. Third time.
You know. All right. Well, that's pretty kick ass.
Thanks a lot, Kirk. Right, hey, I appreciate the work that you guys do. I really do, you know.
Well, I'm glad people like it. That's why we keep doing it.
Thank you so much. You have a great night, sir.
All right, Matthew, what's up?
Hey Kirk, how you doing, man?
I am dragging ass at this point, but I'm actually all right. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. You know, I know you're trying to keep it quick, so I'm going to keep it quick. Fuck LA. Fuck the Clippers. Fuck James Harden.
Sure.
Fuck Russell West, bitch.
Strong takes. I like it. This is a great way to end the show, just yelling at them.
You want a strong take? Mavs in five.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
Let's go. That's all that needs to be said, man.
All right, man. Thanks for hanging out.
Hey, for sure.
Talk soon. Okay, guys. We'll be back Sunday afternoon, Josh and I. Probably around games 2:30, I'd guess 5:30. Sounds about right. And then we'll hang out till we're done. Everybody enjoy the rest of your Saturday. Thanks so much to those of you. My man Doe sent over $2. Really appreciate that. Really appreciate everybody who tips, everybody who comes and talks, everybody who leaves comments. Josh and I are very appreciative, and we are glad that we have this community. So we'll talk soon. Everybody have a great Saturday. Go Mavs.